Scott, thank you very much for doing this. How are you?
Not too, no problem. Not too bad. Things are good.
Excellent. Are you as healthy today as Patrick Marleau is?
I don't know. He looks pretty healthy out there. You know, seeing him play, he's still moving pretty good. I still roll out of bed with a few aches and pains. He's looking pretty good.
Yeah, I think all of us can identify with what you're saying as opposed to what Patrick Marleau is saying. And since it's just us talking, you can tell us, like, does the guy sleep in a hyperbaric chamber? What is his secret? What does he eat? What is his secret to his longevity and his health?
I think he's holding that one tight to the chest. I think he might have a hyperbaric chamber. I think you're onto something here. Cause, I mean, playing with him so long and I mean, seeing the work he puts into the game, and I think that that's the real key. It's the work he puts away from the game as far as in the gym. He eats right. He's so focused on that area of the game, and I think he was like that before it was even – you know, now it's just, it happens, everybody's taking care of themselves, everybody's doing the right things. But I think even back in the day, right from the start, that was part of Patty. He really focused on his body and what felt right and what worked for him. And I think that's, you know, everybody says it's kind of luck, it's kind of this, but I think Patty really focused on that stuff early in his career, and it's paid off in dividends now.
Scott, I mean, you just pointed to earlier on in his career, you saw signs of his work ethic. You played with parts of 11 seasons with Patrick Marleau. I mean, were those signs early on that you could see him having a very long and prosperous NHL career?
You know, I think it was a combination of things. I played against Patty back in junior hockey. I was a defenseman for the Kelowna Rockets that got, sort of position to try and stop him on the rush. And I mean, he had something like 199 points in his first two seasons as a 16 and 17 year old before he went pro. And, you know, you could just see he had that body type. And I don't want to like classify it as something, but he was big. He could skate. And it was a natural bigness. It wasn't something he had to work out to achieve. He worked out hard to maintain his body the way it was, but he was just physically gifted person, and then that combined with the work ethic and obviously the talent. And when you have skating ability like he did, I mean, I know it's kind of taken for granted now. You see guys like Connor McDavid and all these kids growing up and the speed and the ability that they have. And for Patty to do that, like, he was elite at in the early 2000s, and when he broke into the league, his skating power. And you still see his ability. Maybe it's tailed off a bit, but, I mean, man, the guy's in his 40s. And as far as, like, that quickness that you see in Connor McDavid, those first few steps. But for Patty to be able to get on the ice and skate with those guys, as far as that, it's just a testament to him, his work ethic, and just his ability.
And when I look at the fact, too, Scott, the fact that he hasn't missed a game since 2008-2009 season, like, not only is he going to break Gordie Howe's record, but he's also only 13 games back from Keith Yandel's active Ironman streak at 898 games. Just to show that he's able to do that in the latter part of his career is just as impressive to me.
Exactly. I don't like to beat a, you know, sort of go back to the same old thing all the time. It's really that work ethic. Obviously, there's a little bit of luck involved there, you know, with the pucks and the velocity that they're throwing around here. You could get, you know, whacked in the face or break an ankle. So obviously, there's a little bit of luck, but I go back to that work ethic. To be able to do that, and those guys, Keith Yandel included, this year in this lockout the COVID shortened season, where they're playing up to four games a week, and just the demand that puts on your body. And for them to keep that streak going even today, I mean, you know, it was just amazing. I mean, Keith Yandel as a defenseman, you know, doing that Florida's going for the playoffs, and then Patty to do it here playing regular minutes is really quite astonishing.
16 years in the National Hockey League, the bulk of them spent with Patrick Marleau in San Jose. Scott Hannon joins us today on Rintoul and Sermon. So he will be appreciated for his longevity. He's appreciated for his skating, always has been. What aspect of Patrick Marleau's game is underappreciated, in your opinion?
You know, I think he's always had a knock against him as far as publicly, as far as score or you know, the playoffs. I mean, I think that the one thing is it's going to, you know, you hope it doesn't go down this way. He's coming into a season and maybe he gets to play another one as a Stanley Cup. And people always, they take that as a knock. And I think if you look at the numbers he had and the game-winning goals and his work ethic and his points per in the playoffs. I think it's just one of those knocks because they had such a good team for a long time, but were never just to quite climb that mountaintop. And I think that that's something that's just not there. I think if you look at him and his ability and what he's accomplished in the playoffs as far as goals, points per game, game winners, I think, you know, the Stanley Cup, that's a hard championship to win. And some guys get the, you know, I'm not going to say lucky enough, but get the, you know, they get on a team or they get on a run, and it's just one of those runs that happen. I think San Jose definitely had some opportunities in the past. You know, for me, I remember when we played on a team against 04, when we played against Calgary, you know, and we ran against, you know, a great team, nothing away from Calgary. But we thought we had some chances earlier on that were missed opportunities that could have built something for later. And Patty was a big part of those, you know, those Pacific Division leading teams. And he really put, and I want to say kind of put the stamp on San Jose as a young team when we beat St. Louis in the playoffs and really kind of escalated that team. And, you know, before we got Joe Thornton, we were an up-and-coming young team. And then when Joe Thornton came, it really took off and we established ourselves as a contender year in and year out.
I covered that Western Conference final down in San Jose. I remember it very well. And yes, you and the Sharks were very much favored to beat the Calgary Flames. But sometimes, as you said, you run into a team on a heater. You run into a great goalie like Kiprusoff as well. As you got further in your career and maybe got past your career, Scott, did you go from thinking, man, we should have done this, we should have done that, to saying, you know what? Sometimes things happen and there is an element of luck involved in this game.
I don't think anybody that's retired is going to sit there and tell you that they don't replay those losses over and over in their head. I mean, I think that when we talk about it, it's not like I do this on a daily, but when you think about your career and you're like, man, if things could have been a little different on a few runs. I mean, we had the one, you know, against Calgary in the Western Conference final. I mean, you know, Kiprusoff was playing out of his mind. Ginla was, you know, obviously upcoming. Their third line was phenomenal. And we just, you know, ran against a team that, again, you know, I'm not going to say destined. They were a great team, too. We were a good team. And in the playoffs, I think the margin of error is so close. And the teams really, you see that parity across the league. And yeah, you hope that you get a chance to win there. I think the year after that, in 05, we played Edmonton in the second round. And Dwayne Rolison was out of his mind again. And you know, where Rafi Torres knocked out Mahalik. I mean, I could go back and, you know, I'm thinking games that happened years ago, and I still can remember almost every single period. So I think that that tends to happen for guys that retire. I appreciate everything that I got out of my career and the longevity and the fun and the teammates and the lifelong friends I had. But, you know, I think every one of us can go back and remember those, you know, those tough losses, that key moments in your career that could have propelled a team or maybe given you a chance to win a Stanley Cup.
Scott, he's got 566 career goals. Of course, not that Stanley Cup just yet. Of course, we'll see how many seasons he continues to still play. And 2 gold medals. Is he a Hall of Famer?
I think so. I think his numbers right there as far as – and maybe – you know, I know a lot's tied. We talk about Stanley Cups, but I think this is the one record that really propels him over the top and makes it a non-question in my books. I had the pleasure. I call Patty a good friend, and I had the pleasure of playing beside him, and I saw, you know, what he was able to do and just the amount of goals, points, the longevity of his career. Yeah, he never got over the mountaintop or won big key awards, but he was right there. And some guys had great season, but his consistency over the course of his career, you know, I think is second. And I'm not sure. Like, I don't ever like to go out on a limb and say records won't be broken unless you start talking about Gretzky's numbers. But, you know, to have this ability to play it this long and have career game, you know, 1,768 games, you know, and he hasn't even stopped yet. I think that's a record that's going to be tough to match, especially with the talent and the level in this game. You know, is a Connor McDavid going to be able to play that long? I don't know. I don't know, and you can't answer those things, but that's going to be a tough record to break considering the consistency he's had over his career.
Scott Hannon with us for a few more minutes on Rintoul and Sermon. I don't know if you caught the Vancouver Canucks game last night, but there was a lot of national interest, and international, quite frankly, given what they've been through with COVID. Did you catch the game, or did you at least catch the result?
You know what? I took a week off because it was my kid's spring break, so I do a lot of radio down here for the Sharks. I sort of unplugged for a week, so I missed it. I'm slowly, I got a game tonight. I'm covering the Sharks game, and I'll – be studying up in the next few hours, but no, I kind of missed it. You guys can fill me in, though.
Well, they were up against it. They played the Toronto Maple Leafs, and they got outchanced, outplayed, but they somehow found a way to win the game last night. And given everything we've learned about COVID and how widespread the outbreak was with the Vancouver Canucks, we were pretty surprised at the way the game ended up. Let's put it that way, Scott.
Yeah, as I would be. You know, I have a lot of family. I'm from Vancouver, and I hear, obviously, you know, what's going on. And you know, it's a scary situation. And, you know, Vancouver, that team got hit pretty hard. And, you know, Toronto's making a run. So, yeah, it'd be interesting.
What is the climate like around COVID right now in the Bay Area? As you know, that was sort of ground zero for the United States when this got going over a year ago, and sanctions came to that area a lot quicker than they did in other parts of the country. How much different does it feel over a year later?
Well, I can tell you things are starting to change. I think the vaccination rollout down here is definitely picked up. I mean, we just opened today to anybody over 16 years old. So, the fact that we're sort of, I feel like, you know, infections are falling. If you look around, things are starting to open up a little bit more. And I think hopefully, you know, fingers crossed, we're over the hump here and able to get back to some sort of semblance of normalcy. As far as, because we're not seeing that spike in infections and hospitalizations, at least. So I think when we get to that critical mass of vaccines, you know, I think we'll be able to, you know, because it's been a long haul. You know, from where we were sitting a year ago when this, you know, started to, you know, it's over a year ago when this started to happen, it was obviously a, you know, a scary time. You saw a lot of, you know, families that were, you know, in every which way, either by COVID directly or indirectly with the lockdown. So, you know, you hope everybody, we make it out as a, you know, society on the better side of this.
Well said, and we wish you and yours all the best in safety and health. Scott, thank you very much for taking the time today. Enjoy game 17-68 for Patrick Marleau tonight.
All right, thanks a lot. Enjoy.